Not Just Football with Cam Hayward is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
All right, guys, we got another episode of Not Just Football. Welcome back. We don't know what's going to happen after this, but we are excited to announce this is our last episode with Omaha. Really enjoyed doing Not Just Football with Hayden Walsh and Cam Hayward. It's been a pleasure, but you know, Hayden, what do you think?
It has been a pleasure. I didn't know you were going to go there to start, so I was a little taken aback by that. It's been a very fast. It's gone extremely fast the last 2 years. I've had a great time and very appreciative to Omaha for everything they've done for us and just letting us come out here every Tuesday and talk crap to each other. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I want to make sure we say thank you first to Anthony, Natalie, Nicole, Rochelle, Tucker, all the editors as well. We are very thankful. Oh, and our guy Jack as well. Mm-hmm. Don't want to forget Jack. But yeah, don't forget thank Jack. You guys. Thank you guys for allowing us to do this show. It's been a really special to do. We've enjoyed doing it. I also have to say thank you to Mr. Manning himself.
Peyton, I was going to say, you're not going to thank the big guy.
I have to. I'm going to say thank you to him as well. Even though we didn't get you on the pod, that's our only one gripe we have. But we've all enjoyed doing this pod, and this is going to be a fun show. We got a lot to talk about. You ready?
Yeah, a lot to talk about. A lot to catch up on. I mean, we have not really talked a whole lot or released an episode since Super Bowl. What have you been up to? I mean, it feels like you've been everywhere. I mean, I know Walter Payton Man of the Year gets to go to the J. Cole concert, you know, gets to do all this stuff. Also, surgery. How are you feeling? What's fill us in, Cam? What has your life been like since the Super Bowl?
What has my life been like? I currently just was unclogging my son's toilet. so not a lot has changed, guys. You know, if you were expecting for this life-changing moment in my life to, you know, change who I've been, you know, still dealing with, you know what, and you know, so, but it's been fun, you know, dealing with the Walter Payton Man of the Year. I'm very thankful to have won that. The Prince Harry of it all was even cooler, but doesn't beat the Walter Payton of it all, which is even cooler than that, which is a cool honor. It's been fun being home, seeing how everybody was excited for me and thankful, getting to meet people like J. Cole was, you know, obviously really cool, and, you know, never forget that moment. What a great concert between Drake and J. Cole and Lil Durk. They put on a heck of a show, but not a lot changes. And, you know, just getting excited for the season, finally getting healthy, got some surgeries done, and, you know, get to approach this thing the right way.
Yeah, I know. I saw you announce the surgery. What was it? Can you say what it was for?
Yeah, I can say what it's for because, you know, I've had people texting me that don't normally text me but want to ask about my surgery, and they do their part in the media, and so I haven't had a chance to really respond to that. But I was dealing with a core injury that I was overcompensating with my left while I was dealing with my right. And so dealt with that all year, got that handled. And, you know, they think I'll be better because of it. You know, I think looking at that stuff now, it's like, you know, if I can put this stuff to bed, I can get back to really humming and going. And, you know, I'm just excited to be healthy once again. It's been a while.
So the core injury obviously played into what happened in week one, right?
No. So the core injury, so I tore my pec tineus. Let me get this all straight because I'm tired of freaking everybody assuming what they what happened. So I tore my pec tineus early in training camp. Thought it would heal, and, you know, I was resting more than usual. And then, you know, first week of the season, I go to make a diving tackle against the quarterback. Ended up my leg spread, and my right adductor ended up going because I didn't have the, you know, the pec tineus going as well. Dealt with that by getting surgery and coming back week 8 and week 9. Then coming back from it, just couldn't explode like I wanted to. I couldn't. It looked like I was running with a board between my legs half of the time. You know, it was wild. Like,
I'm glad you said something. There were times out there that I'm like, my guy, like, it just looks painful. It just looked painful.
It was very painful. You know, and you know, you put on a brave face, you get to work, and you say, hey, I just want to be part of the crew. You know, I didn't want to be an issue during the season. I just wanted to, you know, the way it really affected me was, it was like I could never like fully build out my stride. It would only allow me to stay within a tight base where, you know, my feet were really under me. I couldn't really get out or explode out of my stance. You know, it's one thing walking after surgery and dealing with all this stuff. It's another thing to play football and not having, you know, a training camp or a season to really build to this. And so that was pretty tough. And so when I came back, I started to overcompensate with the left a lot more, trying to make up for it. What I did in the long run was I tore my abdomen. And so I had to get that retied back to my pubic bone. And so that has been, yeah, if you guys really want to get into it, that's what it's been like. Got that surgery just now. And there were some other things I had to take care of. So, and if we want to talk about that, I got my knee scope. So, there was a whole bunch of stuff going on. You know, that's not the normal me. It doesn't usually happen like that. And so glad I can just put all this behind me.
Me too. And I got to give, you know, the show some credit here. 6.5 minutes in and pectineus and pubic bone have already been said in the show. You're teaching me things. I didn't know, had no idea what a pectineus was. The pubic bone, I think I've figured out, but man, that sounds very painful.
Yeah, when they said pectineus, it was like, no, my pectineus is up here. My pecs are
that's
good.
That's what know? I where I went. That's where I went.
But no, it's all taken care of. And you know, if that was on your bingo board, congratulations, you're moving forward.
Yeah, no. One thing we were talking about, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. Thank you for the injury update, though. I know.
Yes.
And actually, before I do switch gears here, I saw you tweeting quite a bit about that. So, you've been very active tweeting lately too. It feels like so. I love this version.
No, guys, I think the reason I've been actively tweeting is because I've been very, you know, bored and in my feelings, and had a lot of time to just contemplate. You know, I want to keep playing football, and I want to play at a high level. And there's a lot of people that don't agree with that, and I plan on taking care of that.
Well, gladly you can, and you will be able to. So we'll address that this time next year. How's that?
Sounds good.
Okay, sounds good. But you did talk about the J. Cole and Drake concert, said it was good, but it got us talking about something else. And I want to jump into it's the combine right now. We're going to have a rapper draft. Give me a couple rappers that you think could translate to the NFL. It could be any time, too. It could be any time period rapper.
Do you want to just go back and forth? And
I mean, I've got a few, and we could probably go back and forth. I'm sure our list are probably similar, but we could go back and forth on these.
I'll give you the first pick.
Who's your first pick?
No, I'm giving you the first pick.
Give me the first pick? I'd say I'd go 50 Cent at strong safety.
Wow.
Give me a big guy coming downhill. He could play in the box, stop the run. But if you come across the middle too, he's going to lay the boom. Now, I am worried. A lot of 15-yard penalties, I feel like. He'll be headhunting back there. but I think defensively, that's a guy in the back end that is gonna set the tone.
Okay. Well, if you're going to go that, you know, I got to build out my O-line first. You know, I'm going to stay in the trenches. I think I'm going to go the notorious B.I.G., playing center. How about that?
Okay. Wow. That's
dog.
I worry though. That's I feel like that's a lot of weight at center, is it not? I don't know that he's gonna be able to make the movements we need him.
Center, we can maybe put him at guard. He's a center guard type. He can, you know, he's responsible for all of our line changes. He's definitely gonna lean on a player a good bit. The D linemen are gonna get sick of dealing with a guy that size. And I just think he shows real leadership among the group.
All right. Well, I'm going to get a guy that may be going up against him. I got a versatile D lineman, pre-weight loss Gucci man, is going to play defensive line for me. And we think he's going to have a little Aaron Donald in him where he can move everywhere. And we think that guy gives us the attitude defensively with him in the front seven and 50 Cent in the back end is where we're going to go. We're going to go Gucci Mane pre-weight loss at D-line.
Okay. Okay. Well, then with my second pick, I'm going to take J. Cole at wide receiver. Have you seen how tall he is when he's right next to me? He's literally 6'5". So I'm thinking, you know, he's athletic. You see him play basketball. He's tall. Man, I could see him being a problem for a lot of DBs.
Is he a tight end or is he a receiver?
No, he's a receiver. He's a receiver.
Okay. He's a little slighter. He's not as big, big enough to play tight end.
He's big enough. He's got that Megatron to him, I think. So
okay. I'm still building up my defense here, and I'm thinking Waka Flocka at middle linebacker. big guy. He's gonna lay the wood. And I just think with that level of Gucci Mane, Waka Flocka, and 50 Cent in the back end would be very troubling for offenses.
Well, you know, that brings me to someone who's going to be a problem on my offense. He was in jail at one time. I'm going to have to go Nelly from Longest Yard.
So that doesn't count.
I'm kidding.
Nelly was on my list, too, if I'm being honest here, because I think the Longest Yard tough. Is totally – I will say he looks great running the football, though.
He's explosive out of the backfield. Shifty. I think he would be, and he played against the guards, so he knows what he's doing.
I mean, I'm gonna go. My guy from Gwinnett County, a Gwinnett County legend, Quavo, is gonna play quarterback for me. Now his high school was not very good at football, but I think if we surround him with more talent. He'll be good. If he had gone to a Peachtree Ridge or a North Gwinnett or a Brookwood, he would have won a lot more games in high school.
Okay. At quarterback, I'm going to Eminem, because I want to see him go to the Gruden quarterback camp and have to announce, the plays in and out and just, have everything running. He's going to get everybody lined up. I think seeing Eminem dead tired after a game could be great media and could go a long way.
I think him and Gruden quarterback camp would be hilarious. Him and Gruden going over how he processes and whatnot would be fantastic.
Last pick right here.
Go your last pick. My other one is like Snoop at wide receiver. That's just a nostalgic thing, I feel like, because he's, I don't know. So go ahead. Who else you got?
I'm going to do my DBs together just to wrap it up. I'm going to take Wiz at one. He's the lanky Joey Porter type. And then I'm going to take Tupac because I feel like Tupac would be a great, talks trash, gets under people's skin, and would really have bulletin board material week in and week out.
I feel like he's got to be a slot guy, though. He's a little undersized, like a little Mike Hilton, it feels like.
Yeah, a little Mike Hilton.
A little slot corner, lining up, blitzing off the edge. The Tupac, what I see, Wiz, I'm concerned tackling-wise. Is Wiz going to want to stick his nose in there? And if Derrick Henry's coming around the corner, is he going to want to stick his nose in and tackle somebody?
Wiz going to be yelling at guys like me talking about, bro, you got to make the tackle. Y'all can't be letting me get these one-on-ones.
Is he one of those DBs who's not going to want to tackle? So I like your list, though, man. It's impressive. I still think my defensive – my how I went defense would be able to stifle your offense. I think Eminem would have trouble against the defensive unit I put out there.
Who would be your head coach?
Oh, I don't know. What's the criteria to head coach? Is it a rapper or is it
rapper gets everybody rallies.
Who's your head coach?
Jay-Z.
Oh, okay. Then I'll go like Dr. Dre if that's gonna be the case. Dr. Dre's my head coach, okay? So yeah, he worked with several of the guys too we talked about. So I think it works.
I like that too.
Not a bad list. All right. Let's get into real football now, okay?
Yes.
I mentioned you tweeting and you tweeted about the cap going up. What does this mean? I mean, $31 million is the largest, I think, cap jump we've ever seen in the league's history. It's got to make you happy. Now, I don't think you're going to be forced to take a pay cut or retire. So I'm happy for you there. I thought about you initially.
You never know. I think the thing that's really cool, if teams are smart, you spread it out and you're able to keep a lot of your players. We're in a league that is always, the cut and, sign different players. But I think we phase out a lot of guys in the middle range because of this. And I think the past 3 years, because of COVID, and we had to sacrifice our benefits to help pay the salary cap. That's why we never saw those incremental jumps. And now everything's been paid back. You're seeing this big spike. And this allows for the cap to go up, allows for teams to keep their players. I just hope we don't get to a point where it's just, hey, let's keep playing the quarterbacks. You know, we're getting to $60 million cap hits when they're talking about, you know, other players that don't even have a fraction of that, you know, a quarter of that. And so you look at it and you're like, let's you know, the teams that are in the better position with this are the rookie quarterbacks and the teams that or maybe have the journeyman at quarterback, because they're not just paying this crazy cap number. And I think if you just keep investing in the quarterback, you're going to find yourself in the, hey, when's the cap going up again? You're just going to keep trying to replenish it. You know, I think you got to spread out your resources and make sure you're able to take care of a lot of teams or players.
I mean, I think if anything, though, it also sets up free agents to be pretty wild, because everybody's going to have money to spend. And like me and you always laugh, like whatever your cap number is right now really means nothing, because the amount of restructures that can happen, cuts or whatever. And now that you add, they're getting 31 extra million, really makes it crazy. I mean, it really makes me excited for free agency. What about you?
Yeah. You know, I think free agency, you know, teams can always get under the cap. The cap and being up against the cap, it's such an imaginary number. You see teams restructure or extend. You know, it's funny when guys say or teams say they have to cut this player when literally they can move things around if they really want to. So we'll see what happens. Free agency is always cool. You always hear that, you know, teams are banding, players are banding together to join who. So we'll see.
I mean, I just think about some of the names. I mean, obviously Cousins is out there. There's rumors Russell Wilson eventually could be out there. The Justin Fields trading stuff, so he's not a free agent. But then look at the running back market. I mean, Saquon, Derrick Henry, Austin Eckler, Josh Jacobs, and Tony Pollard all set to hit the open market. I know that position's been devalued, but that's a lot of really good players that, depending on where they go, could really flip some teams, right?
You know, I think flip some teams and hopefully reset the market for the running backs. You know, I think you looked at a lot of these guys last year. They took the 1 year deals for as prove it deals. And some of them proved it, some of them didn't. But, you know, all it's going to take is a bidding war. Who's going to, you know, pay the most money? Who's going to give a running back an opportunity? You know, there's some great guys in it. You know, even a guy like Derrick Henry, he might be older in his career, but. How many Derrick Henrys are really out there? And so when you have guys who can not only that are one-of-a-kind players and then, two, can play multiple positions, whether it's running back, wide receiver, shoot, you could even put Saquon back a punt returner because he did it in college. It's just these guys are more valued than just a standard running back. So it's going to be cool to see.
And I hear you on Derrick Henry's age. Still had 1,167 yards last year with 12 touchdowns and averaged 4 yards a touch on a team that, no offense to the Titans, wasn't very good. So
I wouldn't even say it wasn't very good, but they went into the game. You knew what they were going to do. They were going to run the ball. They're going to give it to Derrick Henry. And what did he do? He was still splitting carries with the other running backs. So, you know, you got to give Derrick Henry his props. It's not like they're hiding behind it. It's not like they have a true balance. The ball was going to Derrick Henry or the other running back. So, you know, props to him for doing what he did this year.
Why should you bet with Caesars Sportsbook? Two words, Caesars Rewards. Every bet brings you closer to the type of benefits only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays, VIP experiences, sports and concert tickets, and more. It's not just an app, it's an empire. 21 and over, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with the Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through the Horseshoe Bossier City and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. What do you think about that, the way that position is being honestly devalued? Your position obviously is not looked at the same way. So what's it like looking at that running back just not getting the love anymore?
I don't get the point in devaluing. I think devaluing is a myth that teams say to the running backs, or, you know, because they could apply it to any position. If you have a three down running back who does this X, Y, Z, catches the ball in the backfield, he blocks, he runs the ball. I don't get the point in saying, hey, this guy, you know, we can find this guy anywhere. You can't. And it's becoming harder and harder. You can't just plug in. Sure, there are teams that, you know, just want a scat back, but not every team is built like that. And, you know, you get these guys in one-on-ones, you know, they make their money by making guys miss or scoring touchdowns. And that flexibility has to be valued.
I agree. And they're really good players. But I also think the other side of that is, it's easier to find value at that position than paying a guy $15 to $20 million a year. I mean, a great example is the Steelers. Jaylen Warren is an undrafted guy who has produced quite a bit, and I feel like teams think they can find that. Now, I'm with you. Saquon Barkley's worth more than $12 million a year. He just is. He can do so much, but it's just a really weird spot with that position because it feels like it's one of the only ones where you can find the cheap value in the draft or even on the free agent market.
See, but my rebuttal to that is you look at offensive linemen, and, you know, if your so-called quarterback is, you know, the future, they say, hey, we don't really need to pay the O-lineman. We'll just plug in guys, and then somebody gets hurt. I just think, you know, at the running back position, be careful because, having a proven commodity and then saying, hey, we can replace that with a guy we just found on the street, I think that's poor scouting. That's poor evaluating the position. I think we get into this thing where we think anybody can do that because everybody thinks they're, they can scheme up the best. And, you know, but what about having the best player to scheme around and not – relying on your scheme, but saying, hey, if I put this running back in a one-on-one versus a linebacker and I know he's going to win, what are we really talking about? That's why a guy like Christian McCaffrey is, you know, at the top of our league. If you really look at it, Christian McCaffrey should have been paid like this and should be valued as a top guy because he can do all the things. Saquon can do that. Derrick Henry has caught out of the backfield, and he's making explosive plays. Doesn't matter if it's second and long or third and long, he's giving yourself an opportunity. Austin Eckler, you look at a guy who, you know, can play run, play pass, is more of a scat guy, but creates those mismatches. If that's the case, why aren't we devaluing wide receivers at the same pace? Because the running backs, I feel like, are doing way more than what a wide receiver is doing.
Well, I mean, it's funny too. You say Eckler. Eckler caught 107 balls in 2022. I mean, so it's like, it is weird. And I always felt this way about Le'Veon, is that he put up like, and I get maybe the yards per catch weren't as great, but he still caught like 80 balls in a season while also running it another 250 to 300 times. So it's always weird how they don't give the workhorses the credit, but I don't know. It's just a strange place where that position's at now. Yes. Really weird. Really weird. Yes. And I know you're probably a little sensitive too, because your dad was a running back. So you have a soft spot for the running backs, I feel like, too.
It's not just my dad. I just, you know, as a player in this league, you look at it and you just think, you know, the devaluing of players is an entire myth that's made up by the media. that, you know, we say like, oh, we can just put anybody in the system. And then we put somebody in the system. And we're like, oh, how did that happen? And it's like I think a lot of times we try to overthink a situation because we feel like we can, you know, save a buck by doing it. You know, pay the players what they're worth. You know, as the cap keeps rising, should the market for running backs.
Now the quarterbacks are taking too much money. That's the problem. You can't pay everybody. I hate to say it, but you know, that's what's happening. All right, we're going to move on here to the Bills. Is it Deion Dawkins? Did I say that right? Deion Dawkins, right?
Yeah.
He went on Vlad TV and discussed the Jets. Did you see what he said about the Jets?
No.
He said, I hate them. All of them, bro. I feel like they play sport, try to be cool. Those are a bunch of dudes that just want to take pictures on Instagram. That's whack. He also called Michael Clemens a boy. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on Omaha stuff. So if so, cut that out. I apologize. Wow. But I wanted to give you the full. I think he even said it with that much zest. I think he said it. I think he said it like that. Yeah.
I just gotta say, you're unhinged in your last episode. I'm it's out of control.
Yeah.
You know, I think for me personally, I've never I hate everybody on the field, but I truly don't hate everybody once I leave the field. That's just how I approach my business. Like, it's not anything personal. It's not something that I take with me home. But when I step on that field, there's a level of I don't rock with you because you're not wearing the black and gold. So, you know, I don't know if he's just trying to start something or what. You know, Doc is always about that. But, you know, it is what it is.
I will say you did tell a story, and he was on the show when you did, but you did take it outside the lines with Larry O when the whole Mason Rudolph thing happened. I felt like,
yeah, so,
I mean, I will say,
Really take it out of the lines because it was still on the field when it happened.
It's so. Yes, but it's so you've never had this. You've never felt like this angry with a player before or like a team.
Well, when Mason got hit, yeah, I felt that type of way. But besides that, like, you know, we're all living out our dreams. You're just staying in the way of my dream, and that's the only problem I got with you.
Okay, wow. Well, look at you. So you're not no bad blood, and you're just out there just playing the game. But you will get angry when the game's on, huh?
Yeah. I talk occasionally. I talk trash with the best of them, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, occasionally. I think it's all right, let's go. I want to go GM Cam here. I know Justin Fields has been linked to the Steelers a lot. I don't care about that. I want to go. Okay, the Bears are we got them at the combine. They're answering all these questions. What does GM Cam do with the number one overall pick this year?
If I'm trying to be the GM of the Bears, I think one, I keep Justin Fields. But this pick, man, let's have a chance to really build around him. I think you can get multiple picks and still wind up with a three or fourth pick overround if you really wanted to. If you can walk away with a guy like Marvin Harrison and then still build around, build up your offensive line. I know you cut some players already in Whitehair and I think they have a big cap too, so you can pay a guy like Jalen Johnson. I just don't get the point. You already drafted your first round pick in Justin Fields. This is your opportunity to really build around him, give him the success he wants. Justin's not a bad player in this league. I think he just needs some pieces around him.
Now let me ask you this. If you're the GM and you hear DJ Moore say, I still don't think they compare to Justin Fields right now when he's talking about the current quarterbacks coming out, would that play into your decision, or can you not really listen to what players want?
I think you got to listen to players want a little bit. That can't be your overall thinking, but, hopefully DJ Moore is not just saying it just to say it, but he's really studied it and they've asked for his input and, they're building towards something. But, I want my players to know that I'm building a team that they want to play for too. And so, one, you want the trust and you want these guys to feel like they have a say so. But, I don't know what they think about Caleb Williams. It's kind of all over the place. Do you want him number one? Do you feel like you have Justin Fields and you can build around for the future? I would build around him a lot more. I think you've looked at this team and you've seen it's inconsistent. And it feels like either they've traded a bunch of picks before and didn't have the resources to really do it, but now you do and you have the cap space, take a stab at it.
Respectfully, I'll say this. DJ Moore's going to be affected by the choice. So I would take his decision.
I don't know if he'd be really affected. If he's still throwing the ball and getting touchdowns, cool. He ain't affected.
Well, I agree. But if he wants a certain quarterback, I'll listen to him. But if it's a D lineman or a DB talking about us drafted a quarterback, no thanks. I don't need to hear your opinion on that. Give me an opinion.
You're not helping my situation. They're just going to be like, why listen to Cam Hayward?
Exactly. And I'll say this too to you. We just talked about the cap and quarterbacks taking it. You're going to have to make a decision on Justin Fields before Caleb Williams. My argument is take Caleb Williams, restart the rookie quarterback. You could still build around him. You have a lot of cap space and you're going to get draft capital. You could go get Marvin Harrison with Caleb Williams, right? I mean, and then go get a bunch of guys in free agency and the quarterback's not making any money. You're going to make a decision on Fields here soon.
Okay. Whatever you say.
I mean, you're the guy who's telling me about the quarterback eating the cap and now you're telling they got to pay the quarterback.
Hey, you can lower the cap by extending them. Let's get that off the... get that right. Because everybody likes to talk about, oh my gosh, the cap's this. If you actually extend them, you lower the cap.
Oh, I agree with you on that, but eventually that's going to come up. Like eventually that number's going to hit. I mean, you know what I mean? Like do you believe in him enough now to extend him is really the question you have to answer. And if you do as a GM, then you do. All right. Oh, we also got a report. The NFL is unlikely to change the touchback rule. When a player fumbles through the end zone, as a D guy, you got to love that, right?
Yeah. Why would you change the rule? That's the dumbest thing. You know, we should have, an advantage where the territory, you make it down the field, you fumble through the end zone. Of course, it's got to go that way. Like, that's just bailing out the offense once again if we change the rule.
I just don't know what they're going to change it to. What, take it out to the 20 for the offense? Like, why would they get the ball for fumbling it through the end zone?
It just feels like there's a bunch of crybabies there. Oh my gosh, the ball went through the end zone. Like you deal with what you got, you hold on to the ball, and then you don't have to worry about it. Like, because my thing is, if a quarterback was to run out of the back of the end zone, what happens then? It's a safety. Next we're going to take away that, and we're going to say, oh, we're not going to penalize the quarterback. We're just going to say it's out of bounds. Like, when does it stop?
Well, you know, they love offense.
We've changed a lot of rules already.
It's a league geared towards offense. Combine's going on. You got a good combine story? I know you did not do any drills and stuff there, but yeah. Like, what was your experience like at the combine?
It's wild because, like, most of my guys who got drafted were there. And, you know, I will say I couldn't work out because of injuries, but a lot of guys actually chose to work out. Like, they wanted to take advantage of that time to really show off what they could do. I think the funniest thing was my meetings. I walked into Denver, and this is when Coach Shanahan was there. And I don't know what it was. I was nervous as hell in the meeting. And I got up to the board, and I feel like I told a joke. And nobody laughed. And I was like, this is about going as perfect as I think it can. And then I dropped the marker and I couldn't get the marker because it was behind the board. And I was like, oh man, I'm just wasting time right now. And so I was just completely nervous in that moment. And then I went to the Steelers meeting and then it was like, Coach LeBeau told me to sit down. And he goes, come here, Buckeye, have a seat. And, we're having a conversation and it's just like, there was just rhythm and cadence and just felt like home. Like, I was like, man, if I get a chance to come here, I'm going to love that opportunity leaving that meeting. And so, everything works out for a reason, but the meetings, there was one team that was asking me what my vice was, and I was like, I don't really have a vice. And he was like, you got to have a vice. Is it women? Is it, you know, drinking? What is it? I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't really have a vice. And so they just kept, you know, prying. I was like, you know, at the time I was like, maybe I play video games too much, and like, you know, just trying to tell them myself. I didn't know what to tell them, but, you know, I really didn't have anything to get from them at that point. But, you know, they definitely see if you're going to fumble over your words.
So is that the weirdest question, the vice one?
Yeah, because I was just kind of thrown off. I was like, find out what you want, but I really don't have a vice.
I was hoping you'd have a better question than that. We've all heard like the horror stories of like ridiculous questions. Not, I don't want the disrespectful ones like Des Bryant got. Like, that's ridiculous. But like, some get pretty funny, it feels like, with what they ask.
Yeah, I think mine were more straightforward. I like, I talk with teams. You know, I remember meeting John Mitchell, Steelers D-line coach, just in the atrium where, you know, you would have like, you know, not sanctioned meetings, but more of just open among everybody. And he's like, holy smokes, if you're available, we're going to grab you. And I'm like, coach, I'd love to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, but, you know, I thought he was blowing smoke up my tail, and, you know, we got the opportunity to work together. And so, but most of my questions were straightforward. I really didn't have to worry about that. Maybe I didn't give off the vibe that, hey, ask me a stupid question and see what happens. But, you know, I think it was pretty straightforward for me.
So you bombed that Denver one on purpose, right? You can say it now. You can say it now. You bombed it, right? On purpose.
I didn't bomb it. I didn't bomb it on purpose. But like, those meetings go to like 1 o'clock in the morning. I remember getting back to my room. Marcel Darius, you know, the Bills first round pick, he comes in after me, and, you know, this dude's got two plates of like 20 wings. He's like, bro, I'm just hungry right now. And I'm like, you not tired? He was like, it is what it is. Either they're going to draft me or not. And so, you know, it was, everybody has a different approach when you go to these things. It's just, you know, either you can be a show pony and do everything, you could not do nothing. You know, I wanted them to see my personality more than anything, since I couldn't be able to do a lot.
Yeah, no, I was hoping for a little crazier question, but I'll take the vice thing. You not having an answer to that is so you too, because you really, I mean, I don't even know what you would answer with that. So like,
I don't know.
You don't play video games that much, like where it's like, no, a problem. Like, it's like, I don't know why they want you to have a problem. It's like, I don't think I do, but I don't know. very strange. We're going to go celebrity boxing here. How much interest you got in a Tyreek Hill versus Jake Paul fight?
Is this a free event? I could.
That's me. That's where I'm at. I don't need to watch Jake Paul beat up another athlete. Like, I don't need to see it. Like, I don't know how many more we got to do with this. Like, he just needs to go fight real boxers now.
Yeah. I'm all for, you know, Tyreek trying to get in it. You know, if he really wants to box, okay, so be it. But I don't want to see Jake Paul box like a true, you know, guy who's in his prime, who's been boxing for a while, not somebody who's just, you know, starting out.
Who's playing? He's currently playing in the NFL. Go fight Lev Bell. Give our guy a shot. He was on the show. He talked about it. Go fight him, yes. Right? I mean, go fight. Yes. Yeah. I mean, give him a shot, okay? Why don't you fight a guy who's been training to box? I know he's been discussing maybe coming back to the NFL as well too, but he seems to be training for boxing. Give him a shot. And he actually looked good in the ring too, so I wouldn't mind seeing him get a chance at Jake Paul, but I don't need to see Tyreek Hill do it.
No. I don't even know if they're the same size. That's my only thing. Like, I know Tyreek's fast. Like, what weight are we going to have to get to like, sanction this thing?
Yeah, like, there is weight classes in boxing. I mean, like, when he fought Nate Robinson, how much did Nate Robinson fought? Like, man, I don't know. Wild. But, all right, so no interest, though, in that unless it's free.
Nah, I'm good.
Okay. All right. Well,
you have a better chance of me watching Rough and Rowdy than that. I'll be honest.
Well, I would listen. Rough and Rowdy is a good product. I can't lie. Like, it's a good product. They do a good job.
Yes.
All right. A friend of the show is retiring. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Not me.
Not so, you. No. Well, no. I would. You're not.
I'm probably
going to
sit
your show. No.
Peter King is retiring.
Yes, he is. He is. And in his final article, though, he wrote a nice note about you. He said, genuine, thoughtful, While being a beast between the lines, he's arranged for male student in 11 Pittsburgh high schools, many indigenous kids to get free suits during their high school year. So he's been a fan of yours too, but I know you're a fan of his too. So you want to have the floor here and congratulate him on a great career.
Yeah. Mr. King, as I like to call him, I'm just thankful, happy that you finally get to take a rest, because I know you've been running around all these years going to everybody's training camp. Thank you for, spending time with me and my family this past year and doing that wonderful article. But, I appreciate you taking the time to get to know not just me, but, other Walter Payton Man of the Year nominees. He's been part of the voting process, I found out, but he does a great job, and he's very thorough, and he's not just someone who wants to write something just to write something. He wants there to be more to the story, and he wants to find out the essence behind a person. And so I always appreciate that, your candor, and you were exploratory, but yet you were respectful. In today's culture, that is very rare, and I am very appreciative of that. So thank you so much. Enjoy retirement. Hopefully you got some pina coladas coming to you very soon on a beach somewhere, so you can really get a chance to relax.
I was going to say, so is he not one of the media members that you have that you seem to always get a little frustrated with?
Man, I get more frustrated with the people who text me out of the blue about certain stuff, but they want to run their mouth when they don't have anything to back it up. So it is what it is, but keep it moving.
It's not Peter King though. It's not,
not
Peter
at all. King. Not at all.
You want to say the names, or do we want to wait till maybe you're done playing? Or I mean, you could, by all means, the floor is yours, my friend. If you got a name you want to say and just put it out there.
No, I'm not there to blow up a spot.
Well, that'll get them more clicks too. That's the issue. If you say it
exactly,
then they get more. So I can kind of see why you wouldn't want to do that. But if you want to say the name, just say it on here. That's all.
Yeah, it's just funny because, I'm very thankful, I try to go on my way, but when you start abusing my phone number and stuff, then I have a problem. And then you start to talk when you don't have things to back it up. So
appreciate it. I'll say this though. You probably need to change your number. You've had the same number for a long time. So if you changed it, nobody has it then. Then you'll know who gave it out too. So there you go.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. All right. We got a Clippers rebrand here. I got a picture of the Clippers uniforms. You seem to have them. What do you think? You like them or hate them?
The Pittsburgh in me loves the Gateway Clipper on the jersey, but I like the old Clipper jerseys. I like the royal blue with the red rather than these. But I'm a guy for vintage and nostalgia. I don't really care for these.
I don't care for the new stuff either. I don't mind the Clippers though. The script on the front, those don't look bad to me. And I understand they want to rebrand. They're going to a new stadium and stuff. But this got me thinking though about have you seen the issue with the baseball uniforms?
No.
The baseball pants are see through for all the major league rosters. Yeah, so you can see everything in them. And
Jaden's brother, Jaden Walsh.
Yeah, Jared Walsh. Yeah, get a good look, ladies, because it's the whole thing's gonna be out. But I'm like, I don't know how Fanatics made that mistake. It's like the jersey, I guess they totally ignored the pants. I don't know what it was.
Wait, so Fanatics is the actual sponsor of the MLB?
It's weird. It's a Nike deal, but it's also like Fanatics is involved, I believe. I'm not really sure. Because also if you go look too, they also, the jerseys, the names on the back are like really small too. Like the font is really small. So people are not happy with the MLB jerseys right now.
Yeah, I don't think our pants really go through that. I know it's getting to that point, and most guys are pulling their shorts up anyways to show off their knees, which makes no sense to me. But I guess that's just style. Maybe it'll be the style in MLB where we got the see-through pants. See what's really going on.
I don't know, man. It's bad though. If you haven't, go look at it. But anybody who's listening, I would say go look at it. It's really weird. You can see everything. It's Not good. Cool. Not a good look. All right, we're going to end this here too. We don't have to go deep into it, but we both are Love is Blind people. Okay. Yes. We don't know who's making it to the altar yet, so this is not a spoiler alert. If you had to pick a couple that's going to make it, who's making it and why?
Bro, this is easy. I'm choosing Amy and Johnny. I know they've got some problems about having kids and whatever, but like when you look at the other situations, they are way crazier. Like you got people talking about their Megan Fox, you got people saying they're Christian McCafferty, you got another person who just doesn't want to talk. Like, you know, you got other people sneaking out in the middle of the night and then, you know, giving locations. Like if that's all happening, I'm pretty sure I'm going to go for the person where our biggest issue is we don't want to have kids right now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Jimmy and Chelsea, they speak for themselves. We'll just call them Megan and Christian. I don't know. I don't see any way. Jeremy and Laura, the problem is Jeremy, all this stuff's coming out about him now. So it's like, that's the thing we're finding out. Like half the people on Love is Blind seem to have had a relationship before they came on there. And AD and Clay, I mean, does anything even need to be said? I don't think there's any chance.
Hey, I will say AD, we need to get AD on Not Just Football. It looks like he played some basketball in college. So
you mean Clay?
Oh, Clay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Clay. Oh, I think Clay was a track guy. I think he was track.
Oh,
he was track guy. Okay. He was track guy. Yeah. He was a track guy. But I mean, best season yet, man. It's been, the Megan Fox thing is now honestly a blip on the radar. And then you almost think back to the guys in the pods. I mean, Matthew. Where's our boy Matthew at? Are we going to get him back at the reunion, please?
Matthew looks like he had a neck like Luke Kuechly, where he was a linebacker at one time. So he's the Mike Alscott of Love is Blind.
He is.
We'll see what happens. Netflix, hook us up. I know you're a partner with Omaha, but we'd love to, you know, come on the show and really stir this thing up. You know, talk to, you know, we could be the new Nick and Vanessa. Me and Hayden could go on there and just talk a whole bunch of mess and figure out what's really going on in these relationships.
If they want an alternative reunion where they let me and you do it, and you could watch whichever reunion you want. I mean, ours would be a little more uncensored though, I think, than Vanessa and Nick's, but I'm in. If you could make that work, I'm in.
Just as petty though. So
yes. Yes, absolutely. For sure.
All right. Well, that has been another episode of Not Just Football. Hayden, you know, I would shed a tear, but not right now. Just thankful to be able to do this show with you. We'll see what happens in the future. Looking forward to doing some things. But, it's been a pleasure to be on Omaha, be with the Omaha family. Thank you again to everybody who's allowed us to do this. Thank you to Caesar Sportsbook as well. I haven't had a chance to really shout them out because I don't really shout out sportsbooks, but shouting them out now.
Smart.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. That's our episode, Not Just Football. Stay tuned and see what happens.